I want to preach a one-word message this morning. Beware. All through the Scripture, God would tell us, beware. All through the Scripture, God would not only tell us to beware, but He'd tell us why and of what we should be aware of. As a Christian, our entire life should be built on, if you will, wariness. R.W. Shambach, I remember, how many remember R.W. Shambach? But he used to say this. He had not a TV show. He had a radio program every day on Decatur Radio, WGUN. And he would always end it or say something to this effect, where God is blessing, the devil will be messing. Do you understand that? When God begins to move in your life, expect trouble. A lot of folk run to Jesus to get out of trouble. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. God never promises to get us out. He only promises us to get us through. But you got to go through it. You've got to say, Lord, I don't know how, except through you, by you, because of you. So, Lord, do what you will in my life. One of the greatest things I've ever read, I found in the book of Judges. Now, Judges is a book of grace, and it's a book of mercy. It's Old Testament. And it was even before the kings were established in Israel. And what would happen would God's people would backslide. God's people would start serving other gods through the peoples around them, just like church people do today. Do you hear what I said? Just like church people. I don't care if you come to this church, there's going to be something pagan in your life that you will not release. It could be something could be a talisman, something that's physical and has shape and form. And then it could be just a belief or a thought or a process in your life that is not of God. But nonetheless, they would fall victim to the nations around them. They would invade Israel. They would take over. They would kill. They would plumage. They would steal. And then while they were going through that, somebody heard from God and would start preaching, repent. And they would. And God would send them a deliverer. There was a number of deliverers. Samson was a deliverer. Samuel was a judge. Deborah was a deliverer. Jehoshaphat was a deliverer. There was many deliverers that God sent through the years to free Israel. Then one time, they backslid. They were overcome by the enemy. They lived like that for a number of years, and someone woke up and started preaching repent as the other ones before him. But God said something. He said, I'm tired of pulling you out of the trash. I'm tired of saving your hide. I'm tired of you living for me for a little while and then going back to the same sewer. I'm tired of it, and I'm not going to help you this time. Wow. Now, if that would happen to anybody, it would happen to me, I'm sure. Right? And you see the same thing. But here's the thing. Here was their attitude. Lord, we know. And Lord, whatever you decide to do is fine with us. If you deliver us, praise God, we'll serve you. If you don't deliver us, praise God, we're still going to serve you. Come on, somebody. And they served him. And God sent a deliverer. No matter where we are in life, you're not going to be able to make it from point A to point B without a deliverer. Beware that your lifestyle will either kill you or cure you. Beware that what you've got in your heart is what's coming out of your mouth. Let me turn that around. Beware that what's coming out of your mouth had better be in your heart, had better be your lifestyle. If not, you're walking in hypocrisy. Now listen, beware. Beware today means several things. If you've got a Strong's Concordance, and I trust you do, because every Bible student needs a Strong's Concordance, this is how he defines beware. You ready? Number one, pay attention. How many has ever heard someone tell you that? Pay attention. They're trying to explain something to you and you don't get it. They'll say, let's do it one more time. But this time, pay attention. It means to be cautious about. Be careful. Do you understand? In fact, the Word of God tells us that. Be careful because your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion. Now, as a roaring lion, he's not a roaring lion. He goes about making you think he has the power of the lion because the lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he can't get you if you're in Christ. Those that he can devour are in themselves pretending to be in Christ. Oh, come on. That was good preaching. Those who are in looking for their own strength, working out of their own knowledge, working out of their own ability, and pretending that it's all supernatural from Jesus Christ. You will be devoured. You're probably in the process of being devoured by the enemy. This is not about us, ladies and gentlemen. This is about him. Now, so pay attention, be cautious. It says to apply oneself to apply oneself. How many of you apply yourself? What are you talking about? How many of you who say you love the Lord, who say you've been born again, apply yourself to holy living? Apply yourself to telling the truth. Apply yourself not to offend others because you think you've got it all figured out. Apply yourself. Apply yourself to holiness. Now, holiness isn't in a hair bun. Holiness isn't in a long dress. Holiness isn't in a creed or a theme. Holiness is a lifestyle that is brought to you and imparted to you by the person of Jesus Christ, who at salvation moves into your life and does everything he can to live his life through you. And if we're not going to get saved and if we're not going to apply ourselves, he can't live through us. I tell you, one of the things I look for in people, I want to see Jesus. And it's so hard because all I see is you sometimes. And all my wife sees is me sometimes. Do you hear me? Submit to his word and apply the word to your life. Apply the word to your heart. Beware of not doing that. So it means to pay attention, to be cautious about, to apply oneself, and to adhere to. Golly, stick me with Jesus. Come on. Adhere to. Stick. That means to stick. Adhesive. Wouldn't you like to be a spiritual tube of, or a tube of spiritual Gorilla Glue? And every time you hear the word, it sticks to you. Come on, somebody. Every time you hear correction, it sticks to you. Doesn't make you mad, makes you glad. Correct me. Show me where I'm doing it wrong. Oh, I'm not doing anything wrong. I've been in this a long time. Sit down. Come on, sit down, sit down, sit down. We've got to understand that in him is our trust. In him is our proof of salvation. In him is the life that we must adhere to. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't say you love Jesus and don't study the word of God. You're telling us you are deceived. You have deceived yourself. Listen to me. You have deceived. I don't like this preaching, Pastor. Good. Good. I'm hitting home. Or he is, rather. That's the truth. Amen? Nobody likes the truth. You go to the doctor. And what would you do if the doctor looked at you and you got this problem and you got that problem and you whine about this and you complain about that and you say, this is bothering me and that's bothering me. And he sits you down and he says, this is this, 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 this. And he says, look at you, no wonder. Oh, come on, somebody. Did you hear what that doctor said to me? Look at yourself. See that mirror? Stand in that mirror and look at yourself. And no wonder you've got all these problems. Pour your purse out. Empty your pockets out. Look at the problems you got. God does that every time the word is preached. God does that every time the word is preached and prayed and prophesied. But we don't listen. because it's only the preacher. Come on. We don't listen. Listen, preacher, I don't have to come to that church. No, you don't. You don't. You ain't going to get an argument out of me. You don't have to be here. And I've asked you before, why are you here? Why are you here? What's God got for you today? Or what you got for God? Why are you here? Well, pastor, I don't know. Be honest. I don't know. My mama made me come. Why are you here? My husband made me come. My wife made me come. Why am I here? If you know what was going on in my house, you'd be here too. Well, I am here. Come on, you understand that? But here's the thing. You've missed the whole point because Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name, I'll be in the midst. Did you not come to be gathered with him today? Did you not come to meet him? Did you not come to pray with him? Did you not come to pray to him? Did you not come to worship him? Did you not come to lift up the name that's above every name? Did you not come to feel his presence? Pastor, I've never felt his presence. That's because you won't get saved. Well, I am saved. That's because you won't submit. Wake up. If he said he's going to be here, he's here. Where? Sitting right beside you. Sitting right beside you. What's he doing? He's trying to impart to you his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness, but you're so caught up with yourself, you can't sense him. You don't even believe that he's here. You think the preacher's telling you a fairy tale. Come on, somebody. You know who my biggest enemy is. It ain't you, it's me. It's me. Now, I've written down some things here this morning, and I did it this morning when the Lord gave it to me, about things that we need to beware of. Where the Lord is blessing, the devil's messing. Beware. Beware. Now, number one, he tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets. Now, if you follow anything I do on Facebook, you know I have a low tolerance for false prophets. And today, ladies and gentlemen, false prophets are so prevalent in the church that it's hard for people to tell the difference. Let me just read this to you. The average American church member, how many average American church members we got here? That's about all of y'all. The average American church member falls for everything labeled Christian. Come on. They say Jesus on YouTube, you think they're right. You watch them on Christian television, you think they're right because they say Jesus. They're wrong most of the time. The average American church member falls for everything labeled Christian because, you ready? Because, you ready? They do not study God's word, thus causing them to be easily deceived. If you have no relationship in the book, stay off YouTube. If you have no relationship with the God of this book, stay off of Christian television. Because the only thing they're going to get at you is your money, and you're going to believe you're going to be blessed for it. That's the problem with us today. We want the easy way. Wouldn't it be great if you could get a Christian shot once a week? You wouldn't have to sit there and sing. You wouldn't have to sit there and listen to the word. Get a shot and go about your business. Go play golf or go fishing or go to the mall, go to the park. Come on, come on. I got my Jesus shot today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, that's what we call it. Amen. My Jesus shot. Your Jesus shot is no different than going into a Christian bookstore and getting all the Jesus junk. That's what it is, Jesus junk. Come on, somebody. Do you know where they make their money? They don't make their money in the books. Very little money in the books. They make it in all the knickknacks. I was at one in Lawrenceville many years ago. And I forgot why I was there. I was looking for something, but I noticed something. He had a rack, several racks of angels. Several racks of angels, probably 30, 40 angels there. And I got to looking, and I said, there's ne'er a male angel in that stack of angels. And they were different. They weren't all the same angel. It was different. Little ones and short ones and big ones and tall ones. But no male angels. And when I got my stuff and I went to the cashier, and the owner was, he was there checking people out. And I said, I want to ask you a question. I called him by name. I said, I want to ask you a question. He said, yeah, go ahead. I says, I noticed all those angels. And I said, I noticed there wasn't one male angel. And he said, you know, when people come to buy them, I tell them, you know, this isn't a real angel because it's a female and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, well, if you know that, why do you sell them? And you know, he got honest with me. He looked at me and said, because people buy them. That's why folk lie to you, because you'll buy it. You'll buy into it. Do you understand that? And if they can make a dollar off of your dumbness, they'll make it. Do you understand? And I wasn't trying to offend you by saying dumbness. You don't have a relationship with the Word of God. Stop telling people you love Jesus, because it's a lie. If I didn't talk to her for 2-3 days a week, 2 weeks a month, do you think she'd notice something was wrong? Do you think God doesn't notice something if you're saved that's wrong? But to most, he doesn't. Do you know why? Because you're not saved. And unsaved folk don't study the Word. And unsaved folk don't pray except if there's a problem. Unsaved folk don't fellowship with God. So you're not stealing anything from him. He doesn't expect you to. But when you say you love the Lord, you better start applying it. Because you add to the judgment. Do you understand? You add to your judgment. That's lies and hypocrisy that you're presenting to the people. God doesn't like that. Do you hear me? God doesn't like that at all. Matthew 16, verse 6 through 7, Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, you see, you can tell somebody that sits in church something and something that you, somebody that you have really a confidence in and you think really understand and really got a handle on God. Amen? You know anybody like that? But these 12 didn't. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, they thought he was talking about them because they forgot to bring the bread. Come on. Because they put bread and leaven together, because the leaven is the yeast that causes the dough to rise. Do you hear me? That's what they thought he was talking about. And many times I'm preaching the gospel through the Holy Ghost and you're thinking something else because you can't put one and one together and get Jesus. In verse 12, he explains it. Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Listen to me. These people sat in church Sunday after Sunday. They never missed a service. They did their Bible reading and their Bible study, but they didn't have Jesus. They didn't have Jesus. And because they didn't have Jesus, they made it up as they went along. Come on! They made it up as they went along. When someone tries to bring in a new doctrine, a new heresy, amen, and you start questioning in them with the Word of God, they make it up as they go along. Sometimes I've seen it. Word of Faith do that all the time. When I was in Word of Faith and God started pulling me out and pulling her out, I started having questions and I started going to Word of Faith pastors and asking questions, and I got answers like this. Oh, that's religion talking. Well, God's doing a new thing. No, he's not. In fact, he tells us, go back to the old path. That's where you're going to find Jesus, on the old path. Listen to this doctrine. This is what Mark says in Mark 7, 16, 8. Jesus is speaking now. He says, and he answered them and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Imagine that. He calls them the religious leaders of his time. He calls them hypocrites, play actors. You make people think you got it, but you ain't got it. You make people think you want it, but you don't want it. You make people think you're going to bust heaven wide open, but you ain't even going to get anywhere near heaven. Well, has Isaiah the prophet prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me. In vain. The word vain means emptiness. Imagine Jesus is telling us that our worship and our praise and our songs and our studies and all this we're doing are helping and everything like that. He said it's empty. That's what vain means, empty. It's empty. There's nothing there. You rap on the side of your worship and it's hollow. There's no Holy Ghost there. There's no power there. There's no you there. You're outside watching, making sure everybody likes you. Make sure everybody sees you. Make sure everybody's going to pat you on the back after the service. Sit down. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Doctrines, the commandment of man. Jeremiah says this. He's talking about the people of his time. And he says they worship a god of their own understanding. How many have heard this before? You know, I don't think I could believe in it. I could serve a God that wouldn't do this or wouldn't do that. I don't believe I could serve a God that would do that or would do this. Do you understand that? They have no idea who God is, and they're just talking because they're judging him, and they're relating to him from the flesh. They're relating to him because of what they don't know rather than what they do know. So what they're doing is they're serving a God of their own imagination, the one they've made up and concocted and constructed in their own mind and call him Jesus. Amen. Hello. And that's who they direct their worship at. That's the American church today. For laying aside the commandment of God. For laying aside the commandment of God. The reason people lay aside the commandment of God is because they don't know what the commandments of God is, because they have no relationship with the Word of God. You see how this is working together? You see how this is fitting together? Do you see how badly we need a relationship with Jesus Christ on his terms rather than our own? Because on our terms, we will neglect him coming and going. We will neglect him in prayer. We will neglect him in praise, except in Sunday where some people can hear us. We'll neglect him. We'll sit and watch soap operas on TV. Do they still have soap operas on TV? Do they? What are their names? I'm teasing you. That was a trick question. You know, God has helped me with that so much. It's not soap operas necessarily, but sometimes my TV don't go on at all. And if it does, it goes on maybe about 7 o'clock at night because I'm getting tired now and going to wind down for bed at 8. That's about the only time my TV goes on. I'm in the Word, or I'm listening to a preacher. I love to listen to preachers. I love that. I love, listen to me, and this will teach you where you are with Christ. I'm a preacher. Now, if you want to go against me in the Word, we'll go tit for tat with the Word, amen, because I'm in the Word all the time. I love to be corrected. I love for someone to show me in the Word, not because their mama says or mama believed this or daddy believed that, but because they know the Word of God, to show me where I'm messing up. I love that. I do not take that as an attack. I do not take it as rejection. I take it as the love of God. Come on, somebody. Your mom and daddy corrected you growing up and you corrected your kids growing up. Bless God, the pastor better never get into that street. Amen. Never get on that road. The wise man taketh correction. The fool rejects it. Now, I'm just telling you what God said. Get mad with him. For having laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things like. What does that mean, Pastor? That means we're always trying to do something to appease God. Hello, somebody. We're not coming. You know, he told them, the Pharisees one time, he said, listen, you pay your tithes of mint and of anise and cumin. He said, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law, like mercy and judgment. And we do that too. We want people to watch us do stuff. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I've done. Look where I'm going. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. And God's saying, please be quiet. Sit down. It's not what you've done, it's who you've become. And if you're continually doing stuff to please God, you've become deceived. Beware when you stand before Jesus. Beware. Mark 7, verse 13, making the word of God This is what we do. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered. And many such things you do. When you get on that road of works, you make the word of God of none effect. You killed it. You've stopped it. You've corrupted it. You've polluted it. And you will be judged for it. It's not what you do. It's who you are. Not your reputation. It's character. Reputation is what you put out there so people will think you are. Character is who you are by yourself. Are you listening to me? Because you've gotten real quiet. Number three, beware of the scribes. Beware of the scribes. Now, the scribes were lawyers. And the scribes took down the notes of everything that was going on in the synagogue. Those were the scribes. They knew everybody's business because they wrote down what everybody said. They knew everybody's heart and everybody's thoughts because they wrote down what everybody said. That was the scribe. But Jesus says, beware of the scribes because they had such an important place within the hierarchy of the church or the hierarchy of the synagogue. They thought themselves higher than they really were. They got the big head, if you will. You ever know anybody with the big head? It's like the person we talked when ministries, we were talking about ministries on Wednesday night for so long. There's bosses and there's leaders. The boss barks out orders. Everybody hates the boss. They're the boss. They're in charge. The leader gets down from the podium and gets in line with the workers, but he's first. A leader cannot lead without followers. You have to, what's the word I'm looking for? You have to condition followers. You've got to make people want to follow. How do you do that? By going somewhere. You listening to me? If you're not going anywhere, who wants to follow you? Other than a boss to bark orders. You're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. You're doing it the wrong way. That's not how I learned how to do it. Come here, let me show you how to. Are you stupid? Come here, let me show you how to do it. That's a boss. You're not welcome in the kingdom of God. God's looking for leadership. Someone, he can say, take this group of people and bring them from point A to point B. Now, what it's going to take is about a 3-week journey. Do you realize that if Israel had not sinned, the trip they had, God had planned for them was about 3 weeks to get to the promised land. But because they knew more than God, it took 40 years. Some of you are doing that same 40-year stint on your relationship with Jesus Christ because you will not come His way. You will not break before Him and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? You will not say, God, I cannot handle this. I've tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed. Now my name is a laughingstock. Turn it around. Lord, I'm not moving until I hear your voice. Amen? Now listen, he may not speak. He may just take your hand and say, and you know it's him, and start walking. Amen? And your arm will go up and you'll say, what's going on? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And you know it and you follow. Do you understand that's so much of the grace and mercy of God? That's the epitome of love right there. Amen? When God could legally take us out with one word, die. Do you hear me? But no. No. How many times has Jesus, like the gardener who the husbandman said, cut down that fig tree. It's not grown. It's been that produced fruit in years. He said, let's give it one more season. And I'll dig it and I'll dung it. Amen. Some of us need to be digged and dunged. Digged and dunged. more dung than dig. Because that's what we think we're getting when God starts chiding us and God starts correcting us. Amen. Why am I always getting messed on? Because God wants you to grow. But he wants you to grow his way, not your way, not my way. God loves us. Do you understand? He loves us too much to waste us. If we get wasted, we wasted ourselves. Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing. Listen, you'll never see me with a turnaround collar. You'll never see me in wearing a lot of churches today, evangelical churches. They think they got to dress up for communion. They got to wear all they dress up like a priest, like a Catholic priest. It's disgusting. Amen. It is disgusting. And then you'll tell them, say, why you got to wear a costume? That's all that is. That's costume stuff. Listen, when you get full of yourself and you're on the entertainment team rather than the praise team and the worship team, you're going to have a costume. I get sick. Look at me. I'm going to say this. I get sick of looking at singers, gospel singers, in costumes rather than in clothes. I get tired of seeing preachers in dreadlocks. I get tired of people playing church. And God is too. I can't help but think God is too. Beware of the scribes. They got to wear those scribe jackets. Amen. Come on, somebody. Long robes. And love salutations in the marketplace. They love to be recognized. Amen. Hey, preacher. Hey, preacher. Hey, preacher. I saw a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or a hoodie. I don't remember what it was, but it says, I'm a pastor. And then underneath it says, I know I don't look like one. And I don't. I don't come across as a pastor outside of the church. A lot of times I don't come across as a Christian. I'll let you guess. Amen. I don't do anything ugly that would negate Christianity. But if I really got Christ in me, look at me. If I've really got Christ in me, somebody's going to say something different about you, boy. Do you understand? Something different about you. What is it? Jesus. No. Let them see it. They ain't got to hear it. Let them see it. Do you understand that? If he's in you, somebody's going to see something. You know, and they're probably going to look right directly in your eyes and say, wow. Because the eyes are the windows to the soul. And I got that joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got that joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Beware of the scribes which love long clothing and salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues. When I go to another church, I don't sit up front. If I look around, I'm looking for what we used to call the Amen Corner. Amen, you remember that? That usually was on the side there where the deacon sat. And then they had a place for the preachers to sit, the preacher boys. I find a back seat. Not so that I can get lifted up to the front seat, so that I don't get noticed. Many times someone will say, come on up here, pastor. I said, let me sit here. I can hear better back here. Amen. And I can. And the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost room at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. All our hypocrisy, I said a minute ago, will bring us greater judgment. God doesn't play, and he doesn't allow us to play. Do you understand that? How many times have you ever heard this from your parents? Don't embarrass the family. You ever hear that? That was one of my dad's rules when we went out. Don't make me get a phone call. So if you got out and you got caught, you better hope you got shot. Because if you didn't get it then, you got it when you got home. My dad didn't play. He was very, very strict about that. Do not leave this house and embarrass this family. But we do it at church all the time. We embarrass the family of God all the time. Get you mad, let's see how you act when you get mad. When someone doesn't give you your way, let's see how you act. Let's see what you got to say. Let's see if you can really turn somebody upside down with your tongue. That's why we say, that's a Christian, the woods are full of them. If that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. And I understand that when I've heard that. Many times when I've heard it, I've said, I don't want to be one either. And they look at me funny. I said, I just want to be a follower of Jesus. Amen. You can call me anything you want, Christian, church man, it doesn't matter, reverend, doesn't matter. I just want to know when I walk, he's in front of me, leading the way. Come on, somebody. Go ahead and get mad. I love this. This is good preaching. I'm having a good time. Matthew 23, verse 1 through 7. Then Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. What does that mean? Moses had been dead hundreds of years. He sat in Moses' place of authority. Do you understand? The pastor stands in Christ's place of authority. He's the under-shepherd, Christ the shepherd. Now, do not misunderstand what I'm going to say. Every church member will give an account to God on how they treated their shepherd. Do you hear me? I'm not saying anything other than he's going to judge us on how we treated everybody else, not just the shepherd. That's why Jesus makes it very plain when he says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. That's why he says in the book of Hebrews, pursue peace with all men, love your neighbor, and holiness, love God, without which no man will see the Lord. Doesn't say without holiness no man will see the Lord. That's wrong. That is out of context. It said, pursue peace with all men and holiness. Without those two things in your life, you will not see God. Does that make sense to you? That's what that verse reads. The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They talk a good talk, but they don't. Jesus asked this question to his disciples one time. He said, listen, a man has two sons. He says to the two sons, go out and do this. And one son says, okay, I will. But he doesn't. The other said, I'm not doing it. But then he repents and does it. He said, which son gets the better judgment? And they said, well, the one who didn't, but then ended up doing it. Do you understand that? You who say you want to, but won't. You who say you want to, but don't. You who say you want to, but don't finish. Start it. Then when the accolades die down, you quit. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. God calls us hypocrites. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with their fingers. But all their works they do for, listen, Jesus is talking now. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. How many know what a phylactery is? How many has ever watched videos of men on the Hasidic Jews on the Wailing Wall? Those are the ones with the funny hats and the braids and everything. And they've got a leather thing about that big tied to their to their arm. That's called a phylactery. In there is the Word of God, specific Bible passages. It's called a phylactery. So they make big phylacteries. They walk around, look, I got the Word on me. Look at me. That's what they do. Look at me. Look what I've got. Look what I've earned. Look what is in store for me at judgment time. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garment. Oh, come on. Another line of blue, another line of gold. Come on. They like to play dress up. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. And they and to be called of men rabbi. Rabbi. Rabbi means master. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't you like that word when people refer to you as that? Master. Master. I don't even like to be called reverend. I was at the, when the guy did my nose yet many years ago, he was a doctor. And he says, how are you, reverend? I said, I call me Chuck. Don't call me reverend. He said, you earned it, didn't you? I said, I earned it, so I ought to be able to do with it what I want. Amen. Come on, somebody. Don't call me reverend. Call me Chuck. Call me preacher. Call me pastor. Colossians 4. Excuse me, number 4, Colossians 2. Beware lest any man spoil you. Now, we're talking about the devil now. We're talking about the devil messing where God is blessing. You with me? Colossians 4, verse 6 through 8. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I preached, stop talking and start walking. Rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up in him. Listen to me very carefully. In order for us to be rooted and built up in him, it doesn't come by default when you get saved. You have to be planted by God, and you have to be nurtured by that husbandman, which is the Father. He's going to dig you. He's going to dung you. He's going to prune you. And then he's going to pluck you. Come on, somebody. Amen? That's the whole purpose of bearing fruit, being plucked. Amen? What good are you if there's no fruit on your bush? Doesn't matter how pretty your flowers are, you can't eat them. Amen? Want fruit, Bubba. Want fruit. Want fruit. And it takes work for that to happen in your life. But all you've got to do is stay rooted and grounded. Don't move. Come on, somebody. That's why that root goes so deep, to keep it from moving. Amen? If you were a tree, somebody come walking towards you with a chainsaw. You could run, you'd run, wouldn't you? But no, here's my purpose. Listen to me. Here's my purpose. He's going to cut that tree down. He's going to cut me down. I don't know what he's going to do with me. He might cut me up in 2x4s, a 2x6s, a 2x8s, 2x10s, depending on the size of my trunk. I may build a house. He may take my scraps, make shingles out of me. But I've got a purpose. Do you hear me? Well, like somebody said this, I don't remember who it was, but it doesn't really matter. He said, do you complain because the rose has a thorn? Or do you praise God because the thorn bush has got roses? Hey. Amen. Where are you? No, we hate them thorns on them roses. Amen. Why'd God put such thorns on a beautiful rose like that? You can't hold it. You can't play with it. You can't. You see what I'm saying? You don't know God. You don't know the specifics of God. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding thereof in thanksgiving. Now listen to verse 8. This is good. Beware lest any man spoil you. What does that mean? Spoil you means to seduce you, to lead you away from your entire destination. Do you hear me? Beware. Watch who's around you. Beware who's around you. Beware of what they're saying. Beware of what they want from you. People love to be flattered. People love to be pampered. People love for everyone to know they're there. You're being set up for a fall. And you may very well enjoy the fall because you get attention. And after you fall, you can get sympathy. Come on. Beware lest any man spoil you. How are they going to spoil you? Through philosophy. Philosophy. The Word of God has much philosophy. But the Word of God is not a philosophical book. Do you understand? Philosophy doesn't do much for me. Does it? I want the facts. I want the truth. I don't want a maybe. I don't want a what if it, what if this and what if that. I don't want that. I want, if it hurts, so be it. Give me my Jesus shot. Let me go on. So be it. Philosophy. I'm not an orator. I'm not any kind of an orator. You can take me or leave me, can't you? If someone said, well, you like to hear him preach, I'd take him or leave him. I understand that. But see, I'm giving you all I got. That's all I got. Amen? It's all you need. Through vain deceit. What I tell you, vain deceit. Deceit which is empty, 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 empty. Empty. There's nothing in what we believe. Do you realize? God says, do not let men spoil you, or women spoil you for that matter. Through vain deceit. The devil can only work successfully in our life through deception. Do you understand? If you're rooted and grounded in the Word and in the faith, it's hard for the devil to shake that faith and deceive you. Because see, a man or a woman of God who listens to the Word and reads the Word and studies the Word is like what Paul referred to as the Bereans. Paul went and preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He preached the truth from start to finish. And when he was finished, the Bereans said, well, we like what you're preaching, but we're going home. And we're going to get the Word of God out, and we're going to start checking every dot and every tittle of what you said. And if it's true, we'll be back. If it's not, get out of town. I'm going to start doing that so you don't go to hell. I'm going to start doing that so you don't take anybody else to hell with you. I'm going to ask you what kind of Bible you got. I'm going to ask you where you got that thought or where did that come from. This is not a game. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. In 100 years, every one of us in this room will be in heaven or hell. Do you think that's a joke? Every one of us in this room will be in heaven or hell. I'm going to do everything I can to keep you from hell. I can't do it all, and I can't do it against your will. But you're going to know. There's people praying for you, and there's people loving you. And there's people that'll tell you the truth and not worry about hurting your feelings. Amen? That's all I can offer you. Stand to your feet. I'm done. Stand to your feet. Father, in Jesus' name, you've come this morning. You have come in this place this morning, and the devil is bound by the Word. He cannot stop one move of your Holy Spirit in this place this morning. Devil, we bind you. We bind you in the name of Jesus because the Lord is now ready to do what he wants to do in the minds and in the hearts of the people in this room. And you cannot stop it in Jesus' name. I don't care who you've latched on to, devil. You can keep on latching. But they can't stop the moving of God. They can't stop the salvation of God. They can't stop the Holy Ghost baptism of God. They cannot stop the deliverance of God. You're putting on notice. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just praying you'll do what you know has to be done. None of us know each other's hearts, but you do. None of us know each other's needs, but you do. And this morning, Father, we pour our heart out to you and we beg you, save, heal, deliver, baptize in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's why you've come this morning. That's why you've drawn us here this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we're not going to apologize for this message. We're just going to apologize that we didn't listen to you more carefully. We didn't say the words that you gave us. We've held back. But let it not be part of holding back salvation or deliverance. Break the powers of darkness in our lives. In Jesus' name. The altar's open. Don't just sit there. Get right with God. Come on. He's ready for you. He's ready for you. He's ready for you. He's ready for you. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let anybody stand in your way. If someone's beside you and won't move, tell them, get out the way. I got to get to Jesus. I got to get to Jesus. Get out the way. I got to get to Jesus. Get out the way. I got to get to Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. The devil's smiling, but you're going to have the last laugh, Jesus, because you were defeated, Satan, 2,000 years ago at Calvary. You were defeated by the blood, by the word of Jesus Christ. You cannot remain riding roughshod over God's people. There's people, Lord, in this room this morning that don't know what to do. And Lord, we've told them, come to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. We can't pull them down to the altar, and we'll do it through the hand of Christ, the heart of Christ, the mind of Christ. Now touch in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.